Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, April the 24th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, the Prime Minister's asked to apologise to a Kent MP and the teen marking a milestone birthday after cancer treatment as a toddler. But first today, a hearing has been told how a mum believes her daughter was let down by health professionals in the days and months before her death. 25-year-old Danny Toohey passed away after falling from a bridge in January, just hours after being discharged from the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford. Now, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, we've heard from Danny's mum, Lucy Lockhead, at a pre-inquest review.
That's right, and it was through an email she'd written, which was read out by Coroner Katrina Hepburn. She said, "My biggest concern at the end of all this is that Danielle did reach out to multiple people in services prior to the incident, desperately asking for help. Despite this, she was sent away along a different pathway by each and every person she contacted. It was revealed Miss Toohey suffered from chronic gastro illnesses. The email went on to say how she'd felt unsafe and was having suicidal thoughts. Her mum went on to say how everyone closed the door on her and no one was taking responsibility for her. She's also questioned if services communicate with each other."
And tell us a bit more about Danny.
Well, she was a charity volunteer and very well known in Ashford for her online reviews of afternoon tea cafes. Danny had been diagnosed with gastroparesis, or delayed food transit, in 2018 and supported the work of Guts UK, which fights digestive diseases. She'd been reported missing just hours before her death and was found wearing hospital clothing. The hearing at Oakwood House in Maidstone this week was also told how she'd been reviewed by a mental health crisis team on the morning of her death.
It also became clear, Lucy, how much Danny's gastro illness affected her. Is that right?
That's right. Her mum revealed there'd been a lack of support for her daughter after she was discharged from hospital with a nasal feeding tube months before she died. She said it had taken medical teams 5 weeks to visit and she'd not been trained to use or manage a stoma bag she'd also been fitted with. Danny, she explained, was in pain constantly. She added there was a feeling like nobody cared and that her daughter was just left alone to navigate her way through this life-changing period.
And when is the full inquest likely to be heard?
We're expecting it to take place in August. The coroner has said she wants to understand what happened on the morning of January 23rd when Danny was in hospital to when she was later found. A spokesperson for the East Kent Hospitals Trust, which runs the William Harvey, said it could not comment until after the inquest, but did share their condolences.
Lucy, thank you ever so much for confidential support on an emotional issue. You can call Samaritans anytime at 116123. That's Samaritans on 116123.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man and woman have been flown to hospital following an attack in Whitstable. We're told they were both seriously injured when it happened at a home on Island Wall last night. Police say the man has also been arrested and they're not looking for anyone else. Police searching for a man who went missing from Whitstable have found a body. 54-year-old Edward Parry disappeared on Monday and a discovery was made in Ceasalter yesterday evening. His family has been told about the death and it's not been treated as suspicious. Police investigating a stabbing in Chatham are keen to hear from anyone who saw people in a black Audi acting suspiciously before it happened. A man in his 20s was taken to hospital following the alleged assault on Chatham Hill on Easter Sunday. A car was later stopped in Gravesend. A 22-year-old's been charged while another man's been released on bail. The MP for Tunbridge Wells has been sanctioned by Russia after criticising their regime. Mike Martin has previously made claims about President Putin violating international law. He's among 15 MPs who've been accused of hostile behaviour by Moscow. Now, the Conservative leader has asked the Prime Minister to say sorry to Canterbury MP Rosie Duffield over historic disagreements on trans issues. Kimmy Badenoch told Sir Keir Starmer he was wrong when he previously said trans women are women, following a ruling by the Supreme Court. Judges, you may remember, decided the term woman refers to biological sex. Well, Ms. Duffield previously spoke out about the importance of single-sex spaces and left the Labour Party and now stands as an independent. Well, this is some of the clash between Kemi Badenoch and Sir Keir Starmer during Prime Minister's questions yesterday.
Does the Prime Minister now accept that when he said that it was the law that trans women were women, he was wrong?
Well, Mr. Speaker, let me be clear. I welcome the Supreme Court ruling on this issue. It brings clarity and it will give confidence to women and, of course, to service providers. The Equality and Human Rights Commission will now issue updated guidance, and it's important that that happens and that all service providers then act accordingly. This government's approach and my approach has been as follows: to support and implement the Supreme Court ruling, and we will, to continue to protect single-sex spaces based on biological sex, and we will, but also to ensure that trans people are treated with respect, and we will, and to ensure that everybody is given dignity in their everyday lives. I do think this is the time now to lower the temperature, to move forward, and to conduct this debate with the care and compassion that it deserves. And I think that should unite the whole House.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, he can't bring himself to admit that he was wrong. That was the question. But he spoke about respect and dignity and compassion and lowering the temperature. So will he now apologise to the Member for Canterbury,
yes,
the very brave Member for Canterbury,
yes,
for hounding her out of the Labour Party simply for telling the truth?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mr. Speaker, I've always approached this on the basis that we should treat everyone with dignity and respect, whatever their different views, and I'll continue to do so.
Kent Online reports.
Firefighters have spent more than 5 hours tackling a blaze at a derelict building near Dartford. 8 fire engines and a hype vehicle were called to a former builder's merchants near Springvale in Greenhithe yesterday evening. No one was hurt, and it's unclear at the moment just how it started. Meantime, a mattress has been set alight in a suspected arson attack in Sheerness. 2 fire engines were called to tackle the blaze in an alleyway on Railway Road yesterday evening. It had spread to the wooden door frame of a nearby building and is thought to have been started deliberately. Southern Waters pleaded guilty to 13 charges relating to sewage spills in Margate and Ramsgate. Untreated wastewater leaked into the sea from pumping stations between July 2019 and December 2021. The company's apologised and says improvements are being made. They'll be sentenced for the spillages at a later date. Now, the first event of its kind looking at how boys are affected by masculine stereotypes on social media is taking place in Kent today. It follows on from Adolescence on Netflix, which highlighted the influence of the so-called manosphere, promoting misogyny and opposition to feminism. The conference at the Uni of Kent at Canterbury will also focus on educational inequality experienced by boys and young men. I've been chatting to Claire Allison, who's head of outreach at the university.
This has been in the pipeline for a very long time, so it's very fortuitous that there's been a lot of interest garnered by the absolutely brilliant Adolescence that was shown on Netflix recently. This is an area of work that's had a lot of national focus by both the press and the government. A lot of work's been happening in the space, so we're really delighted to be hosting this regional conference today.
So can you tell us a bit about what the conference is going to be looking at, kind of the areas it's talking about and why you think they're quite so important?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Kent and Medway Boys Impact Conference that we're hosting today in collaboration with the Kent and Medway Progression Federation is really about uniting teachers, schools, college leaders, HE practitioners and researchers to work together to support boys and young men to thrive. When we think about young males, particularly those in receipt of preschool meals, we know that there are multiple and overlapping systemic barriers and challenges that they face in terms of their educational outcomes. So this conference really is about getting the right people together to really work together as a region to address these barriers for young people. So this conference launches the Kent and Medway regional hub of the National Boys Impact Movement. That's founded by Dr. Alex Blower and will be the 15th regional hub in the UK, really working together collaboratively to tackle this issue.
And when we saw on TV adolescence, I think it really kind of raised a number of issues that I certainly didn't realize existed in social media, obviously, and a lot of young people know about that. Are you going to be chatting about social media and its influences and what can be done to tackle that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is another piece of work that's happening at the university through part of our work that we're doing with Portrait Theatre through Generation FOMO, which is really looking at social media usage and the impact on young people. And it's a piece of verbatim theatre. So we're doing lots and lots of work as a university in this space to support this work. But yeah, absolutely. So we've got some really exciting speakers coming to the conference today. We've got Mike Nicholson, who is the founder and director of Progressive Masculinity. And we've got Sean Flores, who's the thought leader and mental health advocate. So we absolutely recognise that there's lots and lots of areas that need to be considered when we're looking at boys' attainment. It's not just in the classroom.
Do you think, as well as obviously academics, teachers getting involved in this sort of thing, parents need to know, particularly parents of young boys, need to know about this sort of thing as well?
Yeah, of course. And I think it's really about working together with schools and leaders, school leaders, in this space. This is not about universities or researchers saying these are the challenges. Actually, the whole point really is that we don't necessarily know or understand what our regional needs and challenges are. That has to come from the young people that we work with, that has to come with the schools, that has to come with parents. So working collectively is absolutely key.
Kent Online reports.
There are calls for something to be done to tackle so-called boy races in Snodland. Residents have complained about antisocial behaviour on the A228 between Holborough Lakes and the town. MP Tris Osborne is supporting the idea of more enforcement. Bin collections have been delayed for dozens of homes in Maidstone because of emergency roadworks. Part of Lewes Road has been shut since last Friday as engineers carry out gas repairs. It's been causing long delays for drivers too, with schools making allowances for pupils who are late because of the bad traffic. It's thought it could cost tens of thousands of pounds to repair a vintage train in Kent after it was sprayed in graffiti. Two carriages of the attraction on the Spar Valley Railway in Tunbridge Wells have been damaged. It's thought to have happened overnight on Easter Sunday. Plans have been put in for a new facility in Kent able to process up to 100,000 tonnes of waste a year. A company wants to build it in Allington Quarry, which would actually help hide it from view. If approved, we're told it would operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's set to cost £1,600 to repair a Kent Mayor's badge after it fell on the floor. The important piece of civic jewellery was damaged when it came off the attachment holding it to a ribbon around Councillor Akufo Kelly's neck. We're told the 9-carat gold medallion was gifted to Folkestone in the 1960s and shows the town's coat of arms. Now, next today, a Gravesend boy who fought a rare type of cancer when he was just 2 years old is celebrating a milestone birthday. Aaron Lindridge was diagnosed in 2011 and went to America for life-saving treatment. His dad, Mark, has been telling us how they all got incredible support at the time.
It was hard for us, obviously, because Aaron was going through his treatment, but the community did so much for us that it made things a lot easier, because we just felt, you know, you do feel alone and by yourself as a family, but then the community just sort of came together, and because they knew us, and it did so much for us. You know, we just couldn't we couldn't thank all of them enough for what they did for us.
Obviously, you had to go to America to get the proton radiation therapy.
Yeah, proton radiation therapy.
So
yeah.
Why did you have to go to America for that? Why was that?
Because it wasn't available in this country. It wasn't available in this country at all. It was only America and a place in France, I believe. So that's why the NHS sent us out to America.
And was that the only treatment that could have helped Aaron?
Yes, it was. Yeah, he couldn't have anything else. Otherwise, he would have had to have pretty much everything in that area cut out, like his bowel, his bladder, his prostate, everything would have had to been cut out, so you wouldn't have had no, you know, he's not, I'm not saying his life would have stopped, but he, you know, it was, life would have been so much different if everything wasn't there.
So a good thing that you were able to get out there. And
yeah, definitely, yeah, you know, we didn't, they told us in the hospital there was a possible chance that he could go to America to have this treatment, and we were lucky that he said, they said, yes, he can go and it'll work for him. And it did. You know, we had to trust the NHS, we had to trust the doctors, and, you know, they told us everything, what we needed, what they wanted to do, and, you know, we were just lucky that everything worked for Aaron.
Mark was chatting there to reporter Alex Langridge while Aaron was given the all clear in 2017. He's celebrating his 16th birthday as he prepares for his GCSEs.
Kent Online News.
A retro festival at the historic dockyard in Chatham is being axed after 18 years. Organisers of Salute to the Forties have confirmed this year's event in September will be the final one. They're promising a bigger and bolder festival to coincide with the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. Meantime, a Battle of Britain pilot who lived in Gravesend is being celebrated on a new set of stamps. Mahinder Singh Pooji was a squadron leader with the RAF and Indian Air Force, saving hundreds of American soldiers from Japanese troops in the Burmese jungle. Dame Vera Lynn, who famously sang about the White Cliffs of Dover, is also being recognised on the stamps released by Royal Mail to mark the 80th anniversary of VE Day. A little girl from Whitstable's had extensive surgery to remove a quarter of her brain in a bid to stop severe seizures. Indy Glover first became ill just before her fifth birthday in 2023. A scan eventually revealed a slight enlargement on one side of her brain. Medics in London carried out the operation and she's made a full recovery. Well, Indy's granddad is running the marathon on Sunday to raise money for the Evelina Hospital, which saved her life. And on tomorrow's episode, we'll be hearing from two of the weekend's marathon runners from Kent. A Kent animal shelter could be forced to close if a new home isn't found in the next few months. Safe Haven Animal Rescue in Knockholt has been running since 2017 and is currently home to more than 30 animals, including horses, pigs and sheep. They've been told to leave their current site by the end of the summer and are searching for locations in Dartford, Sevenoaks and Swanley. Elsewhere, two kittens have been found dumped in a plastic box under a tree in Canterbury. The females are thought to be around 5 months old. Neither were microchipped and one was even pregnant. The RSPCA is trying to trace their owner. A teacher is hoping to become only the second woman in the world to attempt a challenging swim off the Kent coast. Jess Laurent is hoping to complete the 8-mile journey from the Seaforts off Whitstable back to shore. The 34-year-old's doing it to raise money for Aspire, a charity that supports victims of spinal cord injury. And we're just over 3 weeks until Eurovision, the UK entry, have been telling our sister radio station KMFM they are starting to get a bit nervous. Remember, Monday we'll be performing What the Hell Just Happened at the final in Switzerland. They were on Breakfast with Rob and Becca.
For such a long time, it's felt like it's something that's happening really far in the future.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's still where our heads are. But actually, yeah, it is right around the corner and we're a bit nervous now.
So, can we get geeky just for a second? Do you mind if we just get a little bit geeky?
Of course.
How does this happen?
About a year and a half ago now, we quit our jobs to chase this crazy dream and do the band full time.
Wow. Can I ask, what were the jobs that you've quit?
I was a deputy head teacher of a sixth form.
Okay.
We were basically in musicals in London.
Gosh, okay. So some big hitting jobs there to walk away from, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was a tricky kind of decision to reach, I think, because we all loved what we were doing, but... The band has just been a constant for us ever since we've known each other. So we always had, I think, in our heads, maybe one day we'll give it a go. And it felt like the right time.
Yeah.
And thank God we did.
So what, Len, I guess you call Graham Norton up. You go, hey, we want to do Eurovision. And he goes, yeah, no worries. See you later. And then
it's done.
Yeah. Is that how it works?
That's exactly what happened. We
got a phone call.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We got a phone call. Actually, while we were on tour last year, we got a phone call essentially saying, would we like to audition to be the Eurovision act? Okay. And Charlotte is the biggest Eurovision fan on the planet Earth. So we could not deny her the opportunity.
No.
There was no choice in that matter.
So then, yes, we did the audition for really a bunch of kind of big industry people who... Okay. Kind of fed back to the BBC and other, you know, people who were kind of, it was their job to make the decision and find the act for this year. And for some strange reason, it went our way. Yeah. And now here we are.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis and Kent's Emma Raducanu has continued her run of improved form by reaching the second round of the Madrid Open. The British number two from Orpington has beaten Susan Lemens in straight sets in the Spanish capital. It's her first tournament of the season on clay. She'll be back in action tomorrow. And in football, the Gillingham manager says he hopes their run of 10 games unbeaten is the start of something special. Gareth Ainsworth had fans singing his name at Priestfield during their victory over AFC Wimbledon on Easter Monday. There are just two games left to play this season before work gets underway for next year. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and that's where you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.